The title of my sermon is God in Three Persons, and we're going to look at Jesus, the baptism of Jesus, and how we see all three of them present in that moment. God in Three Persons, the baptism of Jesus. Christians throughout the ages have been accused of worshiping multiple gods, three gods. However, I want to tell you, I look to this book for my faith. And in this book, I see that our God represents himself in distinctly three different persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not here this morning to explain that to you. If I did, a friend of mine, we laugh amongst ourselves, a fellow Christian at work, and we say, as soon as you start explaining it, you're a heretic. Yeah, you've tried to explain something that's unexplainable. I'm not here to tell you or try to define how God is three in one. I'm just here to tell you, and our song said the same thing, our God is three in one.
Amen.
There are three, and yet they are totally unified in all they do. They are in complete agreement in all things. And even if you try to define it in some of my classes, you try to define, well, what God the Father do, what God the Son do, what God the Holy Spirit do, you can't really do that either. But in a sense, you can say, well, God the Father sent the Son, and God the Son come down from heaven, put on the clothing of flesh, offered up himself in order for us to obtain salvation. And God the Holy Spirit was involved in all of that, and he is the one that is mostly involved today as he tugs and pulls on the hearts of those who are being drawn to God. All three are eternal, and they were there during the days of creation. You look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Who we ascribe to Moses. We think Moses is the one who actually wrote down these words as God described them to him from the mountain. And he says, Moses says, in creation, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And it talks about the dominion and what we're going to be doing. But what I wanted you to see there this morning is what we see there right at the very beginning, this reference of something, a plurality of us. Let us make man in our image. In our likeness. In John's gospel. John, if you want to pick a gospel and you want to understand the divinity, the eternal aspect of Jesus, John's gospel is very pretty, very beautiful in describing that. And he says right there in the very beginning, John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, if you read that whole chapter, you realize John is talking about Jesus. That's another sermon about Word and Jesus. But John is talking about Jesus. So you could just as easily, and it would represent what John is saying here, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. And we're going to look this morning at a place in the Bible where we see all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at work at the baptism of Jesus. But I want to give you some background before we go to our main text. And if you have your Bible and you want to turn, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. But John the Baptist is preaching a message. He was sent by God to go and preach this message. And he's telling people, repent. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And repent, that word basically means to turn around. To turn around. To have a change in mind. To think differently about yourself. To think differently about God. To think about differently about where you are and where you should be. Acknowledging that there's something in your life that's missing. They needed to understand that they were sinners before a holy God. And they needed to seek mercy. Paul reflected this same thing in his writing years later in Romans when he says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John's message in this call to baptism was something new. It shook them up. Nowhere do you see in the Old Testament a reference of a need for the Jews to go and to be baptized. Although historically, it's not in the Bible, but historically it's suggested that maybe sometimes they had people who were Gentiles who wanted to become God-fearers, so to speak, and attempt to follow God through Moses. Maybe they would have them baptized. But John was telling everyone to be baptized. He was telling them there's something missing. Yeah, okay, you've been trying to be good. Yeah, you've been trying to following all these regulations. He wasn't there to argue with them. He was just simply to say, there's something more that needs to be done. There's something new. God is bringing about a new movement, and you need to embrace it. He was telling them that all they were already doing through temple worship was not enough. There was something more. God was about to do something very special that was different than he'd ever done before. But I want to ask you, are the religious leaders and their response any different than us today? When someone presents us something new, the first thing we think about is, what's wrong with the old? This is what we've always been doing. This is what was right in the past. What do you mean? There's something new. There's something else beyond what we've already been told to do. You can see, I can tell you me, if I would have been standing there, and if I would have been someone who was practicing the Jewish faith, I would have looked and said, wait, what do you mean? Now, the Old Testament referred to Jesus Christ, and there was much in there, but I want to tell you, there was much confusion about Jesus, who was the Messiah, and all the references in the Old Testament. John here was telling them they needed to repent. And they were responded to John's message and being encouraged to come. Many were, not all of course. Many were encouraged to now come to the waters of the River Jordan and to be baptized. We see here in our verses we're going to look at this morning, Jesus too stepped into the water as a witness. As a witness, as a testimony that this is right, this is good. Just as in the same way today, when we choose to step up and proclaim faith in Jesus and be baptized, it's a testimony. Something that is a foundational Baptist belief that is still continually taught by us today. Jesus, as after his death, burial, and resurrection, before he went back to be with the Father, he gave the church a commission. A command, this is what you need to be doing. And he told them these words at the end of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go and baptize them. We're still seeking for people to repent, to turn, to recognize their need of God and to go through the waters of baptism. And notice here, again, we see the reference of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In these marching orders given to the church, the Trinity is mentioned. So now let's go to our main text, Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, and look at the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, to the River Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Lem, would you ask the blessing on the scripture this morning in our sermon?
Father God, it is so good to see people come back. Haven't been here in a while. It's been a long time. Went through a hard time. You are our Father. We thank you for your Son. He is our Lord. He's here. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's in us, that drew us here today to put our eyes and our trust in your Son. We thank you. We're here today because we're your children. We are your church, and we love you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So Jesus was around 30 years old at the time of this baptism. And his earthly mission, all that we read throughout the Gospels, all that he has done really begins at this point. You might say this was kind of a commissioning. It was now that he was beginning to speak. John the Baptist was sent to prepare hearts and minds. The prophet Malachi prophesies of John's arrival 400 years prior to this. And Isaiah 300 years before that. They had said that there was going to be someone who was going to begin to prepare the hearts and minds so that they may receive the Messiah, the Christ, who we know as Jesus. They told that the prophets had said that this was going to happen. So now John was in effect beginning to step aside. He recognized that he had done his part, that he had told there was one coming, and now the one who had come was there. This map, and I'm still working on trying to get these things so that they're right size. And I know it's really too small, but down at the bottom is the Dead Sea. Down at the bottom in the landmass area, the oblong shape, and then up towards the top, not the very small one, but the water below that is the Sea of Galilee. And this red line is an estimate. We don't know precisely, but it's an estimate of the pathway Jesus was making when he was heading over to be baptized. So where that red line crosses between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea is the River Jordan. And we don't know precisely, but that's just what I want you to understand. I hope you understand. Me giving these maps to you, you know, you think, what is this? I just need the Word of God. I'm just trying to understand. These are real places. You can go there today. It's there. This is a physical place. This is not some mystical book that somebody sat down and wrote up a bunch of poems. This is about an actual event.
Amen.
And I hope, in showing you, it's just a reminder. This happened 2,000 years ago, and again, that's the approximate place that it happened. And there were three who testified that day. John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. John the Baptist says, and again, can you see in what he's saying? He's testifying of Jesus. This was a public event. This was not a private event. Baptisms are meant to be a public event. Because in the midst of a baptism, you're not just quietly saying, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. You're saying it to the community.
Amen.
I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. This too was a public event. So Jesus here is publicly saying, listen, this guy who's coming, I need to be baptized. And he was humble and he thought, I can't, who am I to do this for you, Jesus? And Jesus calmed him down. He says, This is what needs to be done, John. John was a cousin of Jesus and his elder by around 6 months. And if you know the scriptures, John's message was beginning to be carried throughout the city. People were gathering. Lots of people were gathering. And you could possibly see the human side of John, some jealousy of this possibility that someone else is going to come and speak. Going to come and start saying some things, and people are going to be drawn off to them. John here wanted to make it clear that's the way it's supposed to be. Just as today, I hope and I pray, listen, I pray about this, I prayed about this morning, I pray regularly that when I come here this morning, yes, this is Rick. And yes, Rick is here. Yes, Rick's personality is here. And Rick is doing some interpreting and trying to expand to you what the Scripture says and how I see it. But ultimately, this is not about Rick. And this is not about how great Rick can speak or not speak. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to testify as to who He is. And John is saying he's the one that you need to look to. His message, listen, his message is it's not that it's just more important. John is saying he is the message.
Amen.
I need to be baptized by you. I'm not worthy. Just prior to the recording of this baptism, we find in verse 11, there in Matthew chapter 3, that he says, and Lim referred to this in his prayer, John says, I baptize you with water for repentance. I'm going through a physical act, helping you to process what's happening. But he who is coming, Jesus, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that helps us individually receive the Holy Spirit of God. At one point, John records in his gospel that some were telling John that people were being drawn to Jesus. And I like what he says in the Gospel of John. These are the words of John the Baptist concerning Jesus. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. Listen, my message is earthly. That's what John is saying. It's coming from the earth. I'm telling you what I've been told, but listen, I'm a man of the earth. Then he goes on, he says, he who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, and yet no one receives his testimony. John here is saying, sadly, this is one who's come down from heaven. He knows. He's testifying of what he knows, not what he's been told. And yet there are many who do not accept his testimony. And he goes on again, speaking of Jesus. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. No different than today, John the Baptist states that there are some who are not receiving the testimony of Jesus. Just as today, there are many who are not receiving the testimony. But can you see, John here wanted it known, he was not ashamed to say, this man, this one who is in front of you, who I'm baptizing, is of the most importance. Hear him. You might think I'm crazy. You might think some of the things I've said are off collar or don't make sense or you can't understand them. But listen, here's the message. He's the message. Just as I hope you all understand, it's my goal here this morning, and it's the goal of this church is to get you to understand Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about Joe. It's not about any of us here. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. John says, I'm but another human being telling you what has been given to me. But it is Jesus here. It is Jesus that we must believe in. Whoever believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Listen, I think it's interesting when you think about this. John says all this, but you know what has not yet happened in the time period? Jesus hasn't even been arrested yet. You know, we look back 2,000 years ago and we talk about faith in Jesus and we talk about the cross and believing in the resurrection and believing all these things. John didn't know those things. Now, yes, there were some things in the Old Testament, but I want to tell you, if you've studied the Old Testament thoroughly like I have, you say it's hard to comprehend and understand what's going on here. John didn't have it all figured out. I want to tell you, if you know your Bible, the disciples who were with Jesus clear through all of his 3 years of ministry, didn't have it figured out. John didn't have it figured out. He wasn't telling them, believe in the cross, believe in the resurrection. He's saying, just believe in Jesus. You just trust that Jesus is going to take care of it. That's all that matters. You trust in him, and it's going to get resolved. Now, we, of course, we preach and teach what we saw and what knew happened, but can you see, John's faith is just simply in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, sometimes churches and pastors, sometimes we get too wordy, get too complicated. We try to define everything and nail it down. You got to believe all these things. These are things that are most important, but ultimately, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ and find eternal life. There are so many things that we argue and fight about. but let's not fight about. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. But you notice there's that warning. John was not the only one who was testifying of Jesus. We're told that the Spirit of God descended like a dove upon Jesus. God, throughout the Old Testament scriptures, has presented himself in numerous ways. We see him present himself in a fire in the bush before Moses. We see him guiding the children of Israel to the promised land through a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. We see God presenting himself in a fog or a cloud or a smoke during the commissioning of the temple. And here God, the Holy Spirit, chooses to present himself in a physical manifestation here of a dove. God had told John to look for this sign. John here, John the Baptist, in John's gospel, the apostle, we see here, John says, I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descends and remain, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, John had been told ahead of time, when you see this sign, when this happens, then you're going to recognize and know that he is one. The Holy Spirit continues to present himself today in various ways. And I want to tell you, generally, based on what we see in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit presents himself in the hearts and minds of individuals as he draws us, helping us to understand the Word of God. John 14:26, the words of Jesus, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Do you see, it's the Holy Spirit of God who tugs and pulls at our hearts, giving us a desire to be good. I'm going to tell you, without that draw, you would have no desire to be good.
Amen.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And as the people were watching the baptism of Jesus, a voice comes from the heavens. This is the third witness of who Jesus was. Can you imagine? This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. God the Son being baptized. God the Holy Spirit coming down in the manifestation of a dove. And God the Father speaking from the heavens. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. This statement was from the heavens and heard by the people present that day. The Apostle Peter later on in his writing says, we heard that voice. And concerning the Father being pleased by Jesus and what he had done, Peter says this of Jesus. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. So in the Bible it tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, there is one who has not. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing that Jesus did that was not approved of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They work in unity. And what do you think the Holy Spirit is tugging at our hearts to do today? He's always pointing for us to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I recently had some car trouble what is it so frustrating? I miss the good old days where my car broke down and I could either take it to Dad or I could sit around and fiddle and figure things out. But things are so complicated now with automobiles. What's one of the first things you do when you need help and you don't sure who it is you need help? You ask around, right? You say, well, you call one of your friends. You know, you might call up a coworker and say, hey, I got this problem. Do you have somebody who might help me out? Do you have someone who you trust or works on your car? You see, there was a testimony that morning. There was a testimony during the baptism of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I think it was some pretty faithful testimonies. Speaking of John, Jesus said of John, of those born of women, there are no better. There was a righteous man there at that moment, at that time, that Jesus speaks so highly of him. that spoke and said, he's the one. And then the Holy Spirit come and manifest himself upon Jesus. He's the one. And the Heavenly Father speaks from the heavens. This is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Regardless of all these references, the people who were standing there witnessing it still needed to make a choice by faith. I don't know, I can't say, but I would imagine based on what we see, what happens in the rest of the Gospels, I would just imagine there were probably them who saw all this happening and yet still walked away, choosing to not put faith in Jesus. Just in the same way, although all these things were happening, there was these physical manifestations, these voices from God, it was still a matter of faith for them. They had to believe, they had to trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you get any better endorsement? A righteous man, the Holy Spirit of God, and the Father of heaven telling them, this is my Son. I want to tell you here this morning, it is Jesus Christ. It's not me. I'm going to tell you, just as Joe was talking about making mistakes, I want to guarantee you, I make mistakes. I fiddle around. I say things that maybe are not totally right. I try my best. I have a desire. And don't misunderstand me. I believe the Holy Spirit has given me this desire, but he's not removed Rick. Rick is still here. Rick is still capable of saying things. But I'm here to tell you, I believe wholeheartedly in the one who will save you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you need to this morning, just in the same way of those who are seeing this happening, you need to do the same thing. You need to repent. You need to say, you need to recognize that all the good you do in your life, I don't care what it is, you can fill books up with all the great things you've done. I'm going to tell you, just in the days of John the Baptist, it's still the same. It's not enough.
Amen.
It's not enough. The Apostle Paul says, everything that I've done, all the good stuff, nothing but filthy rags. King James uses the word dung. It's trash. It's waste. Don't misunderstand me. The people around you might enjoy that. They might get value of that. And God could even be involved in that. But in order for you to obtain salvation, being good is not good enough. You have to truly repent. You have to acknowledge your sin. And you have to say, I believe in Jesus. With childlike faith, it's not a matter of understanding it all. I'm going to tell you, I've studied it for years, and sometimes I feel like the more I study it, the more I feel like I'm working too hard trying to explain all this. It's just true. It's true. God works in three persons. And right now, at this point in your life, I'm going to tell you, those three persons are all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you choosing to individually say, I believe. I don't understand it all, but I believe. It's my hope and my prayer that each of you this morning has made that decision. If you haven't, behold, as far as God is concerned, today is the day of salvation. All you need to do is respond in faith. I'm here to tell you, the door is wide open. I hope you've made that choice. If you haven't, today's the day. Listen, if the Lord's speaking to your heart in any way, if you feel that Holy Spirit tug in your life, that there's some things that you ought to be doing, or some things maybe you need to stop doing, some help that you need, I'm going to encourage you to respond as we prepare to sing, Joe, as Joe comes forward. The Lord's speaking to your heart in any way. The altar is open. I realize for some reason, somewhere along the way, the altar has been a place that hardly anybody wants to come to anymore. And that's okay. Listen, you can speak to God in your backyard. You can speak to God in your car on the way home, on the mountaintop, or in the valley. But I want to tell you, I think there's something, maybe I'm just a little old-fashioned, there's some value in just coming forward and just acknowledging you need help. Or you have concern for somebody else who needs help. Right? Not everyone who comes forward is about themselves. Listen, throughout the years, many people have come forward to this altar with a desire and concern from others around them who need some help. If the Lord's speaking to you anyway, I encourage you to respond. As we sing,
let's all stand and sing, Jesus is all the world for me.
is all.